Good morning and welcome back to Momentum Intensive. This is our follow-up. I'm calling it a celebrations call, and I'm willing to take this anywhere you need it to go. So first things first, you guys are amazing. I've had some amazing one-on-one calls with people. I have more on the schedule this week. I want to talk with everyone privately. And since you're here, you're already signed up, so you get that bonus private call with me. Please take advantage of it. People who are signing up new, I'm going to continue to promote the recordings. I'm going to drop the price a tiny bit. And of course, they will not be able to claim the private call or participate with anything live. But I just think we've had such an amazing thing here. I want people to be able to listen. So let's start. Let's do what? Power pose. I'm going to stand up. I am going to assume the Wonder Woman pose. My legs are spread out. My feet are pointed out a little bit. My hands on my hips. Shoulders thrown back. Chest thrust up, head back, smile on my face. I'm going to hold this for 2 minutes. What are you going to do? Some people like to, instead of putting their hands on their hips, they like to stretch their arms up high, like victory, whatever feels great. Hold it. You guys are incredible. I'm so glad you're here. Those of you who are joining in and those of you who are listening to the recording, even though I don't get to see your name on the list, I know you're there. I'm feeling pretty powerful this morning. I don't know, some of you guys might have seen on Facebook last night. I hit a goal at the gym. 5 weeks ago, I set my first goal on the treadmill. And have been working forward towards it. And I hit it last night. It felt so good. And let me tell you, I tried to sabotage it. So ever since I first started going to the gym this time, this is a new gym for me. Still hold your power poses. Another minute. I was part of a gym that had a pool, which was fantastic because I have some wonky knees and swimming is just so wonderful. Well, that gym closed and it's like, well, shoot, if I'm going to get my cardio, I'm going to have to get on the treadmill. I'm going to have to use the row machine. I love the rowing machine, by the way, but the treadmill, I really need to get some endurance built back up because I'm traveling again and anyways, I set that goal. I've been working towards that goal, but every time I would go to the gym, I would forget something like my water, my ponytail holder. Let's hold this power pose just 30 more seconds. I'm feeling powerful. And last night I did it again. I forgot my ponytail holder. And let's go ahead and sit down. Or wherever, whatever you're doing. Power pose complete. Do you feel incredible? Are you doing them regularly? Ooh, I hope so. I forgot my ponytail holder, and I realized that as I started walking, and I'm like, holy crap, if I'm going to be walking here for more than half an hour, I'm going to get hot, my hair is going to get sticky, and I'm going to be so annoyed. And I thought, well, don't go for your goal tonight because, you know, you don't have your ponytail holder. Yep, it's that ridiculous. That's how tricky we can be at setting ourselves up for failure. That's how slippery we can be at resisting hard work, hard physical work. Anyways, well, so I was listening to one of those YouTube videos where there is a compilation of a bunch of different highly motivational, you can do it, you deserve this, you were meant for this, don't give up. So the bunch of sports stuff and Tony Robbins and, anyways, I was listening to that and I'm like, you cannot listen to all this stuff and give in to a whiny, I need my ponytail holder. So I didn't give up and I pushed through. And there was a beautiful gift of a couple of lovely cool breezes towards the end. We've had a really weird heat wave. So the doors were open to the gym and my treadmill was right next to the door and I got a couple of gorgeous breezes that were so encouraging. And I did it. I hit my goal, my first goal. It's time to create a new goal now. Amen. Thank you, Kristen. So let's talk celebration. Is there anything you've done since last week that you're just really proud of and that you would trace it right back to having built up some positive momentum because you participated in this? Is there an action that you took? Is there a death spiral that you refused to take? Is there just even one step in a new direction, chasing a new dream, living into something amazing? Is there anything anybody would really like to share? It can be teeny tiny. It can be big. It can be anything. Don't be shy. Up on the screen, I have the comfort zone. The light pink is comfort zone. The coral is your stretch zone, and the deep red is your panic zone. Did you stay in your comfort zone or did you venture out into your stretch zone? What did you do that took you out into your stretch zone? And did anything get you like, ah, I'm in the panic zone. I can't handle it. Elizabeth says, I took the step to join, love people, and make money. And you already feel energized. Awesome. And Elizabeth went to her first networking event in 4 months last night. So was that was definitely stretch zone? Yeah. Are both of those things stretch zone for you? Yes. Awesome. Anybody else? Gillian, I held my first webinar last night and it was awesome. Not my first webinar, a webinar. I had lots of great feedback and some amazing leads that are eager to talk with me. Woohoo! That's exciting. Nancy got my copy for opt-in pages ready for critique and sent them in. Fantastic. Kristen. Well, for one, I finished the audios. I've been very good at not following through with resources that I sign up for. No more of that. Yes. I also booked my hotel room for beach camp. Yes. I just happened to have a beach camp graphic ready. Woohoo. I'm so excited. This is beach camp number four. We had beach camp on Pensacola Beach in 2013, and we had it on Daytona Beach 2014, or no, wait, 2000. Well, forget the years. This is our fourth. We're on Daytona Beach again. And look at our awesome speakers. We've got Michelle Sism keynoting. We have Linda Sterling coming in. We have Stacey Ann Lowry coming to share her story. I'm so excited. Nicole and I are totally geeked. Congratulations, everyone. Anyone else have something they want to share? Can be teeny tiny, can be huge. Nancy says, my heart will be with you at the beach. Yay. And maybe someday your body will be with us at the beach. That'll be cool too. So in the one-on-one calls I've had, we've been talking about the trickster. So today I want to introduce a little something about the trickster that I haven't shared in the one-on-one calls. So I'm going to hide these for a second. And I'm going to draw a triangle. You guys can probably barely see that triangle, can you? It's pretty light. Sorry. Let me do that again. Why is it coming? I'm not a Photoshop. Professional, you might have noticed. Oh, wow. Can you see that there's a triangle here? My goodness. Phoebe says, yes, thank you. You guys see the triangle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. okay, so the briefest of introduction. When we're thinking and acting out of our insecurities and our fears and our programming, we're in ego. We're operating in ego. And when we're operating out of joy, peace, creativity, edge of your pants, pee your pants excited, we're operating in essence. You guys familiar with these terms? As a Christian, I sometimes use faith. I'm in faith. In essence is faith. And ego is flesh. Some of you guys might be more familiar with those terms. Some people think ego is like, oh, she thinks so much of herself. That's not the way that the word is being used here. But just remember, ego is all the thinking too much, insecurities, fears, and all that programming that we've picked up through our lives. Essence is what you would do if your little itty bitty baby you, little wee little girl you, could go anywhere, do anything, be anything. That's your essence. So the trickster, think of the trickster as the voice of ego. So the trickster is the voice of ego. And he's not always bad. Not always. He just wants you to stay safe, simple, small. Because, you know, that's just the way he is. He thinks he's protecting us. Yes, Nancy, that's excellent. So the trickster triangle is a really interesting thing. So trickster thoughts are like, you should have done that. You could have done better. Who do you think you are? What do you think you're trying to do? They won't like you. Are you crazy? You should wait until you're ready. Something terrible might happen. You guys could probably start just peppering out all kinds of trickster thoughts. But it's interesting because the trickster has a few archetypes. If the trickster is an aspect of the ego, he doesn't always take the same role. There's three different roles that have been identified for the trickster. And even if you think you have like done lots of ego versus essence work in the past, I'm gonna invite you to just be really curious about how the tricksters work in your life and spot these three different archetypes, the personalities of the trickster. So there are three, as I mentioned. The first, the one that is probably you might be most familiar with, is the villain. The villain has a fear of being weak and powerless. It says, you're a jerk. Why aren't you like me? It overpowers others. It discounts others. It develops a false sense of power and importance from belittling others. Then there's the victim. The voice of the victim is afraid of owning power, not willing to take responsibility, blames others, and creates themselves as being powerless. Then there's the hero. The hero is afraid of not being enough, and so it becomes, the hero is over-responsible, has to fix things, doesn't trust others to be powerful, says, I can save you, I can fix it. We have a tendency, when we're operating in ego, in our fears and insecurities, and all of our old programming, we have a bit of a default that we lean towards. But we actually can slip around the triangle a lot. So you can recognize the villain. You can recognize the villain in you when you're saying things like, you screwed up. I can't believe you did that. What don't you understand here? If I have to explain it to you again, what were you thinking when you did that? It's not rocket science. This might be self-talk, or this might be like how you talk to your kids or your coworkers. The villain just wants to make somebody wrong or bad, even you. A villain is just trying to be intimidating and build a false sense of importance. Do you go villain on yourself very often? The victim, if you're leaning victim, you're saying, poor me. Anytime you feel helpless, powerless, at the mercy of someone or something, you're leaning into the victim when you're feeling victimized, you don't own your own ability to create what you want. You look to others to fill it up, to fill the gaps, to fix your life. Victims feel like things happen to them and that they just have no control over it. So you're showing up as a victim when you say, if only they would, then I could. No one ever listens to me. No one told me that. If only I'd been born with money. Why does everyone else get all the good things? Why does this always happen to me? Do you recognize yourself in that victim side of the triangle? Then there's the hero. Heroes believe that all good things center around them and they're here to save the day. They feel as if nothing would get done well without them. They're kind, caring, and do whatever needs to be done for anyone at any time. Hero will make statements like, I'm here to save the day. No problem, I can handle it. Trust me, I'll take care of it. I can do that for you. I'm happy to help. I'll cover for you. You go ahead. The villain is the tyrant. The victim is the poor me. The hero is the superwoman, Superman. When you hear these descriptions, what are your impressions? What are you feeling about it? You might recognize yourself on all sides of the triangle, and it's because we do. We move around in the triangle. We move around on it. Leslie says that they sound familiar. Yeah, so Nancy says the hero often slips into victim as a martyr. Yes. Kristen says I recognize the villain a lot. Negative self-talk that holds me back from being my best self. Yes. So, yes, Nancy, that was very smart. The hero does slip into victim sometimes. So it's helpful to think about these archetypes. We call this the trickster's triangle. It's helpful because while the villain is clearly, nobody wants to stand up and say, yep, that's me. I want to be the villain. And no one stands up and says, I want to be the victim. But hero kind of sounds cool. If, here's the thing. Remember, the trickster, ego, comes from our programming, thinking too much, insecurities, fears. Have you ever thought about it? Of course, a villain is operating from insecurity and fear. Of course, a victim is operating from insecurity and fear. But a hero can be operating from insecurity and fear? You betcha. If they're doing it to make up for those insecurities and fears. I'll show up. I'll save the day. I'll be the one who works late. I'll be the one who puts in the extra hours on that project. I'll be the one to respond to that client email after hours, because then they'll like me. Because then they'll be, you know, they'll stay with me. If you're on the triangle, whether you're villain, victim, or hero, The trickster is running the show. And that means you're operating in ego. And sometimes that's not a problem. I mean, hey, like it or lump it, if you're a mother and your kids forget to make their lunch, you know, you're going to make their lunch, depending on their age. You know, you're going to save the day. You're going to show up and make sure it gets done. And sometimes that's just the way life's going to happen. Sometimes you're going to be a little bit of the villain. Sometimes you're going to feel a little bit like a victim when crap happens. You know, your programming is helpful in a lot of ways. But when it comes to running your life, pursuing more of what you want, making your entrepreneurial dreams come true, showing up and answering the call, can you do it on this triangle in ego? Remember, in ego, can you do it out of your old programming, fears, insecurities? Leslie says, nope. Gold star. That's right. We can sludge through life on the triangle. We can slip around. So, slipping around on the triangle is just too funny. Once you think about it, you recognize how you slip around on the triangle all day. You know, you wake up, and for the briefest of moments, you're in essence, you know, yay, I'm going to Momentum Intensive this morning, gonna feel great, do awesome things. And then you leave and you go about your day, and a client has a previously unexpressed request and they need it done now. And so you think, oh, what's wrong with them? I can't believe they didn't tell me that was gonna happen. What's that? Villain. Then, oh man, I really wanted to work on my own project today and now I've got to go do that. There's that victim. And then, all right, buck it up, Kelly. Just make it happen. You can do this. That's just the way you are. You're the person who gets shit done. There you go. There's hero. Boop. It took me all of, you know, 45 seconds to do a complete circle of the triangle. and boom, I'm in ego. I'm straight choked out of essence and I'm in ego and I'm operating in ego and I'll get that work done in ego. But will my dreams, will there be progress on my dreams that day? Will I answer my call that day? Will I feel joy, pleasure, excitement, and creativity in the process? No. Being on the triangle, it's how most of us spend our lives. And when I woke up to this, whew, it just made my mouth hang open as I thought about, because I tend to go hero. That's like my go-to. I don't like being a villain. I can be, but I don't like it. And I sure as heck don't like being a victim. Having, you know, some of you guys know I'm grew up in an abusive household. My parents were alcoholics. My mom was emotionally and physically abusive. I don't want to be the villain because I don't like to associate myself with a villain, and I don't want to be the victim. I've had enough of that. So hero's my comfort zone. I can do it. No problem. I'll take care of that. I'll make that happen. Don't worry. I got it covered. the problem that seemed like a great thing. The problem is that it was happening in ego. And so there was no joy, no peace, no pleasure, no creativity, no pursuing what I wanted to create in this world. There's a lot of me making other people happy. No place to be, no place to live. Once my eyes were opened to it, you can't help but look at this triangle and say, I don't want any of it. I don't want to do any of it. I don't want to operate out of fear and insecurity. I don't want to operate out of all my old programming. My old programming sucks. I want to live out of joy, peace, creativity, excitement. Ooh, Leslie, I love you. She says, but there's guilt in doing what you want. Yep. Sometimes. The trickster triangle, when you're living on the triangle all day, the trickster is stealing your life, your aliveness, your energy. It's messing up your relationships. It's keeping you from being who you really are. It's keeping you from pursuing authenticity. Who are you really? If you're not villain, victim, hero, who are you really? None of these are authentic. Hero is not authentic. Victim is not authentic. Villain is not authentic. So we could continue to talk about the triangle and how these play together, and how when you show up as on one corner of the triangle, you create a space in your life for the others. Oh, I just went there, didn't I? When you show up on the triangle, you create space in your life for the others. When you show up as a hero, you make space for a villain and a victim. When you show up as a villain, you make space for a victim and a hero. When you show up as a victim, you make space for a villain and a hero. You can't, it's not a triangle without three people. And if you show up in one, you're making space for the others. So if you're a hero, so let me speak my personal experience. Hero is my ego-based go-to. I save the day. I rescue. I make it easier. I solve the problems. And what shows up a lot in my life? Victims. Victims, victims, villains, more victims than villains. Villains aren't, you know, villains. The only reason the villains show up in my life is because I've got so many victims responding to my hero call. I looked around and I'm like, why do I have so many victims in my life? Where are my champions? Where are the awesome people? Well, because you showed up as a hero, Kelly. You made a space for victims. You sent out a freaking advertisement for them. All right. Once you realize the trickster's triangle is there, and you get you get that jaw-dropping moment of, holy crap, I don't want this anymore. What do? There is a way off the triangle, and it's simple. What if it were easy? It's taking 100% responsibility for your life, for what you want to create. It's about being you. Asking, what do I want? What do I want to create? What do I want to be? What do I want to do? Who do I want to be in relationship with? So if you lean villain, it's easy to feel the difference when you're off the triangle because you're just, you know, you're not being a jerk. If you're used to being, if you lean victim, you know what it feels like to be off the triangle because you feel confident in yourself. You're making choices, not whining about what someone else did to you. But when you're hero, it's a little more slippery getting off the triangle. So you might be thinking, but I kind of like saving the day. I do too. And guess what? I still get to do some pretty heroic things off the triangle. So there's a way to tell the difference. If you're doing it on the triangle and you're doing something, you're probably doing it out of duty or obligation. If you're off the triangle, you're doing it because I want to. If you're on the triangle, you're probably doing it out of duty and obligation. Like, it's expected. It's my role. If you're doing it off the triangle, you're doing it because I want to. If you're doing it on the triangle, you're probably doing it because you want to look good and be right. If you're off the triangle, you're doing it because you want to. Because you're creating a win-win for everyone. If you're doing it on the triangle, it's because you think, I'm the only one that can do it. Off the triangle, you're doing it because you want to. And you know other people are capable. And you want to. You feeling it? On the triangle, duty, obligation, want to look good, want to be right. I'm the only one. Off the triangle, I want to do this. I choose to do this. It sounds fun. I know other people can do it too. I'm excited to do this. I'm choosing. If you're doing it on the triangle, you're probably isolating yourself a little bit and doing things on your own because, you know, that's how the hero wants to show up. Like, people often say to the hero, do you ever sleep? Do you work 26 hours a day? And the hero says, no, of course not. But they love it. If you're doing it off the triangle, you're probably collaborating and creating with others. You're not trying to prove anything. You're doing it out of joy. Nancy says, operating out of your own love, joy, and peace instead of your own guilt, shame, and blame. Ooh, that's good. Phoebe, great contribution. There's a saying, no more than my place, no less than my space. Knowing when you're the right person at the right time, letting go of your ego and your humility. Or your humility. Good job. Kristen says being authentic, letting go of who we think we are supposed to be and embracing who we are. Leslie says, I like to feel like a miracle worker. Welcome, Susie. So is anybody experiencing, you could be experiencing a couple of things right now. You could be feeling crappy, like, oh my gosh, my whole life has been on the triangle. All my best intentions, turns out the whole time I was operating in ego. You know, I suck. I'm going to go eat worms. I quit. If you feel that way, oh my goodness, I completely understand and relate, because that was my initial, like, whoa moment. And, you know, Gillian, you drew the correlation earlier to the model for where it's victim, rescuer, codependent. Yeah. You know, depending on where you come from, whether you had a great childhood or a terrible childhood, the ego still runs, the trickster still runs, the triangle's still here. It takes different shapes, plays out different ways. We take our spot, we slip around on the triangle, we do the best we can. My coach and the people who created Radical Leadership, you know, have pointed out that most of our lives are lived on the triangle because we didn't know any better, and now we know better. So I believe it's really normal to have a moment of, oh, wow, yuck. And to feel a little drawn down by it. And if you're feeling that way, let's take a minute and let's just shake it off. Let's, you know, if you need to stand up and wiggle a little bit, do a little shimmy, shake your hands, you know, shake your hair, just do something physically move for a minute. Wiggle. And just take a deep breath, let it go. This tool has created a new awareness. And awareness is good. You know, there's a way I thought I was showing up in good service of myself and the world around me. And it's not as good as I thought, because it was all out of ego. And now I'm aware there is another way. That's cool. So even as we have basically unmasked the trickster is going to run. The trickster is in your head. See, you do suck. See, you do this. See, you're rotten. See, all the good things you ever thought you did, you were doing it for the wrong reasons. Shut up, trickster. Just shut up. Just ignore him and pay attention to me for a minute. We have new awareness. There is a better way. We've been running on the triangle. The trickster's been running us. We've been operating out of ego. There's a better way. And now that we are aware of it, we can do something about it. We can step off of the triangle and lean into essence, lean into ourselves. Stepping off the triangle is about accepting you are 100% responsible and able to create what you want in this life. You are. You can create whatever you want to in this life. You can lean into anything you want. The trickster is going to run his game. You don't have to play it. When you step off and just ask, what do I want? So here's a quick tangible story about the, so you guys know my niece had quadruplets. Some of you do. Some of you might be really new to my world. I have 9-year-old quadruplet nieces and nephews. They're my sister's grandchildren. My niece has a PCOS, so she was never able to ovulate on her own. She had to have assistance, hormonal assistance, and it happened. She had quadruplets, and my son was 17. He was homeschooling. You know, I'm full-time self-employed. So we moved to be near them. We switched our life upside down to work so that I slept during the day and worked in the evenings. And then we helped take care of the quadruplets at night so that mom and dad could sleep. And people always said, oh my gosh, you're such a amazing person. Oh my gosh. You know, basically they're trying to put me in the position of hero. You know, you must be exhausted. You work so hard. And all I could ever think of is what part of rocking babies feels like work. It only ever felt amazing to us to do it. And it's because we chose it. Nobody guilted us into it. You know, nobody, they never played the victim. We chose it. We looked at each other and said, we want to do this. And it's amazing because we're talking almost 10 years ago. I didn't know about ego in essence. I didn't know about the trickster, but I know what it feels like to choose to be of service in a dramatic way. I know that it was chosen out of pure love and delight. We got to rock and snuggle 4 babies all night for 10 months. I mean, it was awesome. Pure essence for both of us. Now, as the children got older, there have been lots of opportunities to go ego hero and save the day. Moments when they asked me if I would watch the kids and I didn't want to. And it's, you know, it, this, so this past summer, They're, like I said, they're 9 years old now. They're not cute little snuggly babies. They're they're kids. They're fantastic, but they're kids. And the summer was coming, and we needed to come to some agreement about childcare. And my sister was getting tense about it. She's like, you know, I'm retired now, and this is not how I expected to spend my retirement. And, you know, but I suppose it's our duty to do this. And I said, whoa, you just said a dirty word. We're sitting down and asking ourselves right now, what do we want to create in our lives this summer and in their lives this summer? And she goes, well, what do I want have to do with it? And I said, everything. Because if you're going to do it out of duty, you're going to resent the time and lost opportunities. So let's decide, what do we want? And we designed what I think was a pretty amazing solution between my sister and I and the parents. We designed an amazing summer where Tracy was home with them one day. Gabe was home with them. He ended up working weekends so that he could have days off during the week. And then Becky and I took him 2 days. Nobody was overwhelmed. Nobody was put out. Nobody was doing it from duty and responsibility, leaving room for resentment. Everyone was doing it because it was what they wanted to create. And together we created just a wonderful summer. We were all sorry to see it end. So if you've got a situation in your life where there is a duty, you feel a duty, you can still turn it around. Step off the triangle. Ask, what do I want to create for myself and them? And be honest. If you don't want to, so I used to work at my church. I was office manager of my church for 7 years. And so that meant juggling a lot of volunteers. There were people who volunteered initially out of joy, and then it would turn into a duty. And you can tell the difference when someone is doing something out of joy versus duty. And someone would say, well, yeah, I'll do it. It's my duty. And I would say, you know what? You can say no. Well, no, I can't. Someone's got to do it. I said, no, really. If you're not feeling it anymore, if you don't have joy, peace, excitement about doing it anymore, I bet someone else does. So I accept your no. I can't do it. Because it gives me a chance to go invite someone else to do it. As if you're embracing a duty somewhere and you're resenting it, you don't want to do it, but you're doing it because you have to. There's no one else. Let me tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's someone else. But because you've taken that position of hero, there's no room for them. So if you're resenting something, get honest, step off the triangle, ask yourself what you want to create for yourself and for them, and be honest. If you don't want to do it anymore, tell them, I don't want to do it anymore. You don't have to justify it. You don't have to have an excuse. You don't have to call in sick. You can just say, I don't want to do it anymore. It no longer gives me pleasure and joy and peace. So here's my notice. I'm not a proponent of, yeah, go screw yourselves, figure it out. Give them notice, whatever, give them whatever time you think is reasonable, but tell them the truth and step away so that someone else can step up out of their choice and create what they want. If we're operating in ego, we're plugging up a space for someone who could operate out of essence. Is that a gift you can unwrap today? I hope so. Kristen says, it makes so much sense to live that way. I've done many things in the past out of duty and end up resenting it every single time. Yep. Yep. All right. So be thinking about this as you go forward. And, just to wrap things up, I want to remind you the three things that we've covered in the Momentum Intensive, the procrastination. If you're procrastinating, ask for help. Figure out what it is you're avoiding and ask for help. If you're thinking too small, what are you supposed to do? Do you guys remember? What did I ask you to do on the Thinking Too Small day? I'm looking at my paper. What would you do if you knew you could? That's right. If you're procrastinating, come to the Facebook group and ask for help. Here's the link to the Facebook group. If you're thinking too small, ask yourself, what would I do if I knew I could succeed at it? That'll help you think bigger. And if you're struggling to get out of your comfort zone, you're going to take my challenge and you're going to write 5 different posts, 1 a day for 5 days. I'm answering the call because. So if you need to remind yourself, refresh yourself about all that, re-listen to the Momentum Intensive audios if you want. There was a lot of information and empowerment delivered in those sessions, and I love to listen to things more than once. Kit says, I've been in that situation and think that it's harder when the leader doesn't have your attitude, but you're so right that we have to come from our essence. Yes. Yes. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Leadership. That's I was very blessed to have strong leaders above me who believed that it was better to have somebody operating out of spirit than flesh. Flesh can get things done, but it's just not very inspiring. flesh can run a nursery, but that doesn't mean the kids are going to have a good time. It's interesting because I was managing the office, like I said, and so I had a lot of office volunteers, and the ego can run the office neatly, but it's not a lot of fun. Tisha Lee, you guys know Tisha Lee, my virtual assistant. The reason she's my virtual assistant is that she was a volunteer in the office at church one day a week, and she was a pleasure to have around. She's fast. She's a wicked fast typist. And she was just such a fast learner and such a pleasure to work with that when I came home full time, I asked her if she would be my VA. All right. Final thoughts from anyone? Golden nuggets? Just something you want to say to feel complete? Shout it out in the text chat. Please book your private call with me if you have not already. I am going to be traveling. I leave on Tuesday and I will be gone for almost 2 weeks. But when you book on the calendar, those dates are all, you know, are all X'd out. So you probably won't be able to get a session with me until the middle of March at this point. But please still do it. I don't care how long it takes to get you on my schedule. I'm only asking that you do book it before the end of this month. Once we get into March, then no new claims. So if you want it, claim it. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. This has been just such a great pleasure. If you guys want to keep this kind of magic going, please join Love People and Make Money. And there's some gals here who have already signed up since Momentum Intensive. Love People and Make Money, it's a combination of private coaching and weekly group masterminds. And those weekly masterminds are just amazing. There's accountability, there's check-in, reporting what you've done so we can celebrate, and then there's brainstorming and talking about whatever needs to be talked about. Lots of mindset, lots of like tangible what to do next in your business. I would love to have you join us there. There's mastermind groups that would just love to get to welcome you into the mix. Keep the momentum going, everybody. Stay part of the community at Solo Smarts. Keep checking in and letting us know how you're doing. Because I want to celebrate you. Bye now. Have a fantastic day.